12. All right, we've been looking at the function gifts. We've looked at the gift of prophecy, the gift of ministry, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation. Now we're looking at the gift of giving. We started on that last week. Let me just read verses 6, 7, and 8. Actually, let's read it together. So let's go ahead and read those verses together, please. 6, 7, and 8. We're in Romans chapter 12. Let's begin. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And we've been looking at the gift, the gift of the Spirit called the gift of giving, he talks about here. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And we looked last week, just an introduction of what the Bible's talking about when it talks about giving. Of course, that's the act of sharing what is at one's disposal to give to another. And the so in this case, the giver has the authority to give, not like the government. No, this is in your hands and my hands, etc. And God lays on the heart to give. This is something that every Christian should do. But there's a specific gift, and we're actually not going to get too deep into it yet tonight, but we will start on the gift of it. But certainly as a Christian, God wants all of us to be willing to share, to give. The receiver has a specific need. In this particular giving, it's to meet a specific need. It's not just, I hope this helps somehow. I had leftovers, here you go. No, there's a need that you heard of or so-and-so has, and man, God laid on your heart, I've got that, I can meet that need. And that's the idea behind the giving here. Jesus explains it in Matthew 7. In fact, let's go there. Matthew chapter 7. I always like to hear from Jesus more than me. How about you? He's a better explainer. So let's take a look. Matthew 7. We're going to look at verses 7 to verse number 12. And here's what he says. He's talking about prayer here, but in it he teaches about giving as well. Ask, he says in verse 7. I'm going to read to verse what? 12. Okay. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. So he talks about some of the ways that God gives and that's how we should pattern our giving. God gives good gifts. He gives as if, in another part of scripture, we are to give as if we are the one in need. We know how much it takes to fix that or how much it costs to do that or how this can help the family. Let's do what we can with what we got. And also that we need to know God provides for us. God provides for us. Can I ask you a question? Has God provided for you? Yeah, he sure has. He sure has. Does God provide for others who don't recognize his provision? The Bible says he does, that he blesses the just and the unjust, those that don't want to do right. And yet, knowing Christ and understanding God's care for his children, we know not only is he going to take care of us, he's going to take care of us if we're willing to care for others too. Yes. And meet whatever need comes up as a result. And of course, the greatest example is 1 Timothy 2. Let's take a look there and then we'll continue on. 1 Timothy 2, greatest example of Jesus giving himself. We'll read this verse, these verses together. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 to verse number 6. Let's read that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, going to read verses 3 to verse number 6. Jesus gave himself. Going to start with verse number 3. Let's go ahead and read these verses together, please. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's the importance of growing in the Christian life, includes giving. Now, we're going to continue on in just a moment. Let me pray. We'll ask God to help us, but we want to look a little more specific, literally the dollars and the cents, the dollars and cents. What does the Bible encourage us when we give to consider in that giving? Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your provision, Lord. Even tonight, you have blessed us in so many ways, and sometimes we just don't even consider that, Lord, and I pray help us to be thankful tonight. And Lord, would you speak to us, show us, give us a burden about others that maybe who need the help that you've already provided through us. We just don't know it yet. We just haven't seen it. And I pray, Father, that you would show us what to do. Maybe we're going to be one of those ones who needs that help. Prepare us, prepare others. Whatever your need, whatever you want tonight, Lord, we pray you would get it and help us to be open to it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Just ran through my mind. I watched how many remember when 60 Minutes actually gave real good interviews? this was a 60 Minutes interview on YouTube, and so you can see it anytime, of a guy who escaped North Korea. That's the communist side of Korea. And grew up there. He was born there. He grew up there when he was about 17, I think he said. He finally escaped after his father escaped and was hoping to get his family out as well. But he said, you know, we lived in the main capital city till I was 10. Everybody had plenty there. You know, you had a place to live, you had electricity, food wasn't scarce, there was money and work to go around. His father had some kind of a political statement that was not right. The government moved him out into the outside of that city somewhere. Now they all lived in shacks. There's no electricity. Your water's from a stream that goes down through town. And in order to get food, you had to go up in the mountains with the men and hunt rabbits and squirrels. That was their food. That's how they lived. You couldn't work because the government would shut down the factory. It was a very interesting interview, very interesting. But what really caught me was that when they assigned him a school to attend, 10 years old, all right, elementary school. And one day while they were at class, the teacher said, tomorrow we're not meeting at the class, we're meeting at such and so center of the city. And he was confused, he didn't know what the big deal is, so he asked his classmates, what's going on? And they said, well, you'll find out tomorrow. They went to the center of the city, it was a public execution. Two people were being executed that day, and he was, isn't this happen all the time? And one of his classmates said, you need to be a man. This happens every once in a while. We've all seen it before. 10 years old. What did the people do? One was a woman, he said, who had escaped South Korea into China. She had found a missionary who gave her a Bible, and she started to read it. The Chinese police found her and turned her back over to North Korea. She was charged with, you know, being an enemy of the state and reading false ideology, etc. The man, I forget exactly, but that really stood out to me. 10 years old. This is what happens in the world. What I'm saying is this, folks, we ought to be thankful we live here. Yes. We ought to thank God every day for his goodness to us. And don't take advantage of it. You think it's something silly. It ain't. It ain't. The fact that we can get out of bed without somebody telling us when, where, and how, or what to buy, something interesting, and I'm sorry I'm going off this, but it was such a powerful, powerful interview. He said he did escape eventually into South Korea. He went into, and the interviewer said, well, how did you like freedom? How did you like freedom? He said, until I was 19 years old, I'd never heard that word. He said, but I understood freedom when I did this. I walked into a store that was a stationery store, and I needed a pen. And he said, I looked at the wall, and there were thousands of them. He said, I couldn't believe it. And he went to the manager of the store, and he said, are all these for sale? And the guy said, sure, but you have to choose one. And so he was like, I couldn't believe it. So I got out a piece of paper, and I took every one off the wall, and I started writing on that paper just to see how the pen wrote. And the guy got upset with it. You need to buy one. You know, don't run me out of business here with these pens. But whichever one you choose and can pay for, that's the one you get to have, or more. He said, that was what freedom meant to me, the freedom to choose. The freedom to choose. And we take advantage of that all the time, don't we? Wow. So, all right, back to giving, right? We have to choose to do that as well. Matthew 6, let's go there. Matthew 6. I forget the title of the video, but if you search for it, you'll find it. Very, very interesting. Well-spoken young man. And I don't know if he was a Christian, but he certainly, when he talked about the Bible, that woman in the Bible, he sounded respectful of that. So I don't know where he is spiritually. Matthew 6, let's take a look. Verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, and I do have some other passages here. We'll ask some help for that in just a minute. But Matthew 6, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. What are some ways that God monetarily asks or expects his disciples, his children, to give? Well, there's monetary giving, and it is an agreement. It is an agreement. That's the blank. Monetary giving is an agreement between you and God. What's the agreement? The agreement is, it's his money. It's not mine. That's the agreement. If you keep it back from him, there's going to be some things he says that, okay, you can do that. He's not going to stop us, but there might be some things that we will miss out on, and not necessarily out of money-wise, but certainly he wants to bless as we give. One of those ways to give we see right here is through alms. Alms is monetary gifts to meet needs of the poor, of the poor. Who would take John 13, verse 27 to 29? So a different, little bit of a passage there. John 13, 27 to 29. Vicki's going to read that, okay. Then we have Acts chapter 9. Verse 36 to 39. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 39. Thank you. Bob's got that. Then Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. Deuteronomy 6, verse 12. Daryl's got that. How about Exodus 35, verse 29? Exodus 35, verse 29. Eric, are you raising your hand there? Okay, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, if you move your hand, I'm going to call on you, folks. Thank you, sir. Exodus 35, 29 is that one. And the rest we'll get to here. Alms. They're monetary gifts to meet the needs of the poor. Here's some examples in Scripture. John 13, verse 27 to 29. And Vicki's got that, I believe.
Quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor.
Okay, so the point is here, this is that the Last Supper, we call it the Last Supper, etc., that particular time. And Jesus was telling Judas, you have a plan, go do it. But the rest of the guys thought he was going to perhaps give to the poor. And this is an expected thing. This was part of their religious life, was to give alms to the poor. It could be something that they would give them directly. Could be something they gave at the temple, collected there and distributed. But it was an expected thing, is the point there. Acts chapter 9 talks about someone who was known for this, verses 36 to 39.
Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into an upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with
them. Okay, thank you very much. Here's a lady, Tabitha, or Dorcas as she was known, had a couple different names, but known for giving, specifically to those that had, that couldn't buy things for themselves. That's very interesting, I felt, and it points it out about her. Alms, giving to alms, the monetary gifts to needs of the poor. And God desires us that we have a burden for others that may have that kind of situation. That in America, it's a little different than the rest of the world, but there are people still here who have needs like that. Could be us tomorrow. You never know. You know, it could be a difference in some things very quickly. In the Old Testament, we look at some giving that the Bible calls tithe. We've heard of this. Deuteronomy 6, verse 12 tells us about it. Deuteronomy 6:12, is that, maybe I'm got that wrong for us. Read that for us one more time, brother.
If beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
Okay, that's a great verse. That is not the verse I was thinking of. I'm sorry about that. But the one I was thinking of talks about the tithe and the tenth, how the Bible tells us that. Maybe we'll get it another time. But as you know, the tithe means tenth in Scripture, and it was commanded in the Old Testament for the children of Israel. That was what they were required to do. It was a tenth of the annual household increase. As God provides, we're setting aside. It could be something that was given at one particular time in the year or a few times throughout the year, but God expected his children to be ones who would give the tithe. And even today, we talk about taking tithes and offerings at church or receiving tithes and offerings, but did you know that the New Testament has a different term for it? We're going to look at it in just a bit. Let's go on. Let's move on. Exodus 35 and verse 29. Let's hear from them.
The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman, whose heart made them willing to bring all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses.
Okay, so here we hear about the free will offering mentioned several times throughout the Old Testament. It was motivated by a heart for God. Free will offering, a heart for God. This is something that was not required, was not something that God said you had to do at this particular time, but as the Lord laid on people's hearts to give and to the Lord. But it was a heart for Him that motivated them. Is that still possible today? Yeah, it is. Well, let's hear about what the Bible tells us about today in the church. 1 Corinthians 16. Let's go there. We're talking about different purposes of giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's take a look. Verse number 1 and 2. And here it says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He does not say gather the tenth, gather the tithe. Even he doesn't even say gather the free will offerings. What does he say? Give as God had prospered them. That word prosper means this. Here's the blank. Favor. Favor. Give of God's prospering or favor individually. Or favor individually. I want to give to the Lord as He gives to me. Now, as if someone asks, and sometimes it happens, where do we start? All right. How are we supposed to start? If we want to give to the Lord and the tithe is not necessarily commanded in the New Testament, where should we start? Well, the tithe is the only number in the Bible given towards giving as far as percentage-wise or amount. There's no, you know, give 500, give 200. No, it has a percentage along with it. So that is something to keep in mind as you consider giving on a regular basis. This is not the gift of giving. This is as we give to the Lord, what does He want us to consider? And I believe that's a place to start, 10%. And for some folks, they'd say, well, I can't do that. So what happens? A lot of times, they end up not giving at all. I can't give that, so I guess I just won't. Well, we're missing out on God's blessings, folks. Not winning the lottery or anything like that, but we do miss out on God's blessings. Because He said, and we read it, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give. Yeah, God blesses that in our lives. The Bible says if you want to see more of God's blessings, one of the ways, not the only way, certainly prayer, service, and being a testimony for Him, witnessing, those are all blessed of God, but one of them is giving. One of them is giving. New Testament giving, it's given out of God's prosperity and favor individually. That is the Christian life. Now, what about the gift of giving from the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit's giving through gifted individuals. Giving especially, this is giving especially needed for the work of the Lord at home, that's the blank, home or abroad. Let's take a look at these passages. Let's go back to the Old Testament, Ezra chapter 1. Ezra, they were rebuilding the temple in the book of Ezra chapter 1. And let's see what God was telling them to do. So Ezra chapter 1, I'm getting there, hold on. Somebody's got it, there it is. Ezra chapter 1, if somebody's got it, verse 3 and 4. Go ahead and read it for us if you have it. Chapter 1.
Whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with the silver and with the gold and with the goods and with the beasts, besides the freewill offering of the house of God that is in Jerusalem.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, big task ahead of them, and there was a lot of hands that was needed, and people were beginning to come to help. But Ezra, Nehemiah, others that were there in leadership, they realized, you know, manpower is great and we need that, but something we need to give the manpower to do is going to require what? It's going to require some money. It's going to require some some funds to purchase the materials needed for the job. And so he says, not only does God want us to give a free will offering, and as whoever's listening, give to the Lord, but some of us, he says, have that extra silver and gold. Some of us have that means to put towards this project, and God wants you to use it in that manner. He says, whosoever remaineth in the place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver. This is to help with the building of God's house, the temple, where he blesses people. The Bible tells us that's part of, in the Old Testament, what God wanted to use people to do, specific people. Let's hear about in Acts chapter 11. Let's go there, Acts chapter 11. It's not just the Old Testament. Let's see what the new is. That's where we live. We live in the new, amen? Chapter 11, take a look at verse 28. Chapter 11, yep, verse 28. Here's what it says down to verse 30. And there stood up one of them named Agabus. This is in the church at Antioch. The disciples were there. Others were there. And there stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Here God made known clearly there's going to be a need, there's going to be a problem, there's going to be some help that's needed. And the Bible says, interestingly, at the church at Antioch, this was a great church at Antioch, I'll tell you. They were ones who sent out missionaries, and they were an incredible group of people for the Lord. And one of them is they gave when the need arose. And they didn't seem to hesitate. Romans chapter 10. Let's go there. Romans chapter 10. Verse 14 and verse 15 when we get there. What's another way of giving? Well, giving prayer, giving ourselves to ministry, to serve the Lord and get the gospel out. Here's it is in verse 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. Sent from where? Sent from the church. Sent from a location of a body of believers. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I'm looking forward to couple weeks. We're going to have our missionary with us. I'm looking forward to hearing from him the tidings, amen, the tidings of what's going on in the Philippines. He can help us know better how to pray and how to rejoice with them. But we have helped send him and other missionaries. There's, 20 of them altogether, right, that we're sending financially, in a sense, to the field to reach people with the gospel. Is our sending the ones that makes all that possible? It's God. But it's God working through you and me in our giving, along with many others that are needed to help accomplish the ministry there. So praise the Lord. Some give themselves, but also the church to give to the missions work. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll close with this one. Let's go there, Philippians chapter 4. What does God tell the church? Or I should say promise them, because that is a promise, as they give towards the work of the ministry at home and or abroad. Let's read it together here, verses 15 to verse 19. Let's read those verses together. They're great verses. We're in Philippians 4, verses 15 to 19. Would you read it with me, please? Let's begin. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many have verse 19 memorized? Philippians 4:19, memorize that. If you haven't, it's a great verse to memorize. But notice what verse 19 hinges on. What's the promise of God's providing all your needs? As his riches, in glory, based on what you've done in verse 15 through 18. As I honor him, as I give, to reach out, to help others, here's what I can expect, God to supply my need. Does that sound like somebody else told us that in the New Testament? That God would provide, and his name is Jesus. Yeah, he promises that. We're going to look some more about that. The Holy Spirit's giving through gifted individuals as God uses them specifically. Let's go find